The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. One nation under God is now under siege. As America faces battles within, many wonder where to turn.
I think the stage is set for the greatest awakening in history.
We know the economy is only one part of the picture. In fact, the culture ultimately is what changes things.
Join us as Sheila Walsh interviews James and Jay Richards as they challenge us to become one nation, truly under God, indivisible. Next.
I want to give you a personal invitation to come to the Indivisible book signing. We're going to be traveling to various areas of our country, and we would encourage you to come to see me and Jay Richards, and Betty's going to be there. Check the website to find out when we'll be in your area.
Joining us on Life Today, I'm Betty Robinson, and I have my special guest host back with me today. Sheila, good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
And we have the same guest. Again,
we do.
They were so good the first time.
We were very impressed, and we sensed they had just a little more to say.
Tell everybody who it is. Who are the guests?
Well, our guests, your wonderful husband, James Robinson, and J.W. Richards, who've written this amazing book, Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom. Before it's too late. Yeah. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Sheila.
We're glad to be here.
And I was very grateful when you gave me an opportunity to read this manuscript before it was available to the public. And I have to tell you, one of the things that literally blew me away, and I didn't know whether to shout hallelujah or get down on my face and cry before the Lord, was this is one of the first books I've ever read where you're not pointing the finger at the culture and saying, what's wrong with you guys? But you're saying to us as the church that it's transformed people that transform people. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm afraid we're very guilty of the mess we're in because we have not been the city set on a hill. We have hidden the light of God's glorious presence under the covering of conformity and compromise and really non-involvement. And really being totally uninformed. An uninformed electorate is a dangerous electorate. And so we either vote in ignorance of the issues and the candidates and the principles that are so essential, or we don't vote at all. We've got like nearly 50% of evangelicals who could vote who don't. And Catholics, I think it's the same percentage.
That's right.
It could be worse. Surely Catholics are worse than us. I'm not sure.
So, just about equally bad on that.
Yeah. So we're equal somewhere. Yeah. We've got to be one in that anyway. But we're not involved, Sheila. And so we are responsible, but we can also be very responsible for turning the tide in the positive direction. And that's the hope. I think the stage is set for the greatest awakening in history. I really do believe that. People say we like to talk in grand terms. I am arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is to come upon us. I believe that is to the church. I believe we're to be adorned in the glory of the Lord before He comes in glory for us. And I think this is what He's telling us to do now. Let the light pierce the darkness. Put on the whole armor of God and go into war with principalities and powers that have been too long in control, even too often in control of professing Christians.
Mm. It's interesting. I pray that every family in America gets hold of this book and reads it. But you say, Jay, that you've written the book with three particular groups in mind that you hope and pray will read this book. Who are they and why?
Well, it's really in the subtitle, Faith, Family, Freedom. First, of course, as James has said, it's those people of faith, especially evangelicals and Catholics. I mean, evangelicals and Catholics, by all polls, make up about 50% of the American population. Even if you say, okay, maybe half of each of those groups are really serious about their faith, that's still a lot of people. That's tens of millions of people. And so we're convinced if just the people of faith in this country that understand the importance of God, the importance of faith, come together, as opposed to fighting amongst ourselves. That's the first group we really want to reach. The second are those people that live good lives, that care about their jobs, care about their communities, care about their families, but they think politics and public policy and voting, this doesn't really make any difference. And if anything, it's probably a distraction. We understand that temptation. I mean, you look out at the world and you think, going to hell in a handbasket, at least I can sort of take care of my little fiefdom here. The reality is we're not sealed off from the rest of the culture. There's really no way that you can avoid ultimately being affected by the culture. In fact, Washington is spending your children's money right now, so whether you accept it or not. So it's really wise to get involved. So we want to wake up the sleeping giant of people that are good people, concerned, but not sort of actively playing a role in this. And the third are those people that believe in freedom. There are millions of Americans that believe in limited government, rule of law, private property, and economic freedom, free enterprise, but they don't necessarily see the importance of religion or faith or marriage. We think they are an important part of the coalition, and we're convinced that a lot of them, if you know they read or are persuaded by the arguments in our book, will see that these issues of life and marriage and faith are connected to these economic issues of economic freedom and private property, and you can't pull them apart. So those are really the three parts of the coalition that we want to bring together with this book.
And aren't finances one of the big challenges in a home, in a family, in a relationship, couples? Isn't that one of the things that really separates them so many
Absolutely.
Times?
I mean, we know
so
that.
How can we not be connected to
it? Yeah, we all know that. And of course, anyone that's lost their jobs, I mean, there's no way that you could sort of separate this from anything else. And so, you know, I mean, James Carville famously said, it's the economy, stupid, when he was you know, advising President Clinton, who became, you know, became president in part because that was good advice. But we know the economy is only one part of the picture. In fact, the culture ultimately is what changes things. But our economics and our economy determines a lot of stuff. And so we can't separate these things. As Christians or as Americans, we need to see how these things are connected.
There's a lot of statistics in the book that are profoundly moving. You talk about 53 million abortions since Roe v. Wade, but there's a lot of story in this book that is very compelling. And James, this is not just, I mean, this is an issue that has hit you deeply personally. I'm not sure everyone knows your story.
You know, we were all born for such a time as this. Don't take your place on planet Earth lightly. You are precisely placed in the will of God for this moment. And if you're a believer, you are in a body of Christ to fit connected together with other believers. So you're a vital part. You're also a vital part of what God wants to do through the family of faith to bless the nations of the world, all the other families. And that's what America's been blessed to do. It's what all free nations should always want to do, and freedom enables them to do it. And the free economy that can be a growing economy also enables them to do it. I was born for such a time as this. I was born for this moment, and there's some unique things about my life that make it very interesting and applicable today. Abortion is rampant. The little tissue is not just a mere mass of cellular tissue. It's a little baby, a human being. It really is far more than just a fetus. It's a baby. And sometimes that baby is a challenge or an inconvenience. And sometimes not only unexpected, but unwanted because of the circumstances. I'm the product of a forced sexual relationship. A practical nurse, what would be similar to hospice care, was raped by the alcoholic son of the elderly man she cared for. At age 40, she conceived, Sheila. And she went to a doctor in Houston, Texas, and asked him to abort the baby, told him her circumstances. The doctor said with deep conviction, I cannot terminate this life. Mother reflected, prayed, said God put on her heart to have the baby will bring joy to the world. She assumed I'd be a girl, named me Joy. When she found out it was a boy, because she told the doctor that this is her baby girl named Joy, she said, well, lady, you call him anything you want to. You got a little boy. And so she came up with the name James. Sheila, I really believe that the thing that is so important, and this is really the way Jay and I communicate the entire book, we're not suggesting the imposing of our belief system on others, but rather the wholesome presentation of it and the principles behind its importance. We believe all life is important and precious. We believe there's great potential. Tim Tebow caused quite a stir. His mother was urged to abort because she'd been taking some medication for a physical problem that would almost, without any question, cause serious damage to the unborn child so that it would be so deformed it would be almost dysfunctional. And the mother said, I'm having this baby. And the dad, the missionary father, said, I'm praying that this baby will preach Jesus to the world. Well, he didn't wear clerical robes. And he didn't preach in a church, but he preaches in stadiums, and he preaches Jesus. There are two of us, Sheila, who by Roe versus Wade could have been aborted. But here's the deal. The target's not Roe versus Wade. As totally improper, unholy, and really unethical as it is, the real target is to understand the preciousness of life and the potential. This is the change of the person that brings about the real meaning of the principles that we hold and treasure as important.
If you had an opportunity that every single pastor, priest, leader of a woman's ministry was listening in, and there was one thing that you could say to them from this book, that if you hear nothing else I've said, hear this one thing, what would that be?
We can all make a difference. I got to be honest. I read a lot. And I've read Glenn Beck's book, Being George Washington. It's classic. School children can read it. He just takes you into a drama. George Washington was flawed. Wasn't perfect. But oh, the qualities. And Glenn says, and you say, I cannot believe you are an evangelical Protestant sitting by a Catholic talking about a Mormon. What on earth is happening in our country? Dear God in heaven. Well, get over it. Just get over it. Glenn Beck, thank you. He talked about George Washington having the principles and character and the greatness of Almighty God and divine providence. Listen, everybody can make a difference. And Jay, when we stand together, think about it. Across these lines that we put up, and I believe we'll get you Catholics straightened out. Give us a little time. These terrible walls that have kept us from even knowing one another. We're commanded to love our enemies, but for heaven's sake, don't love a Catholic or a Protestant. It's unbelievable. I believe that if people realize who they are and they love one another, love God and love one another, there's no end to what God can do through us.
Absolutely.
So that's important. What do you think? You've got to answer her question.
I was going to ask you, Jay, that for people watching thinking, I'm so glad you guys wrote this book and I'm so glad you guys are out there and you do your thing and we're right behind you. But you talk about, I think you quote Bonhoeffer saying that if you don't take a stand, you've taken a stand. Mm-hmm. If you don't raise your voice, you've raised your voice. For people like Betty, like myself, like our viewers, like our listening audience, what would you like them to understand that they can do?
Well, you know, honestly, Sheila, when we wrote this book, we wanted to write this book for everyone, everyone that's capable of reading a book. We didn't want an academic tome. We certainly wanted to draw on all the research from academic realms, the things that economists and political scientists and people have discovered. But our goal here is to help people sort of think through these issues for themselves so that maybe these half-formed intuitions that they have but wouldn't be able to articulate it, you know, at a party or something like that. I mean, many of us as Christians, we know what we believe as Christians, but if we had an agnostic, for instance, that says, why should I care about religious freedom? Why should I care about laws about marriage? Do you have something that you can say to them that would persuade them, even though they're not Christians? That's the kind of arguments and thinking that we put into this book, public arguments that we can make for people, for our fellow human beings, including those Americans that disagree with us on some fundamental questions. And so, you know, we really walk through the issues after kind of setting it up, the basic issues that you'd think of as those public policy issues that are talked about. But in the end, then, we try to tie all of them together in what we call the 10 fundamental principles or first principles of faith, family, and freedom. That is, what are the 10 fundamental truths that if we understand them, we could actually, if we think clearly, develop all of the correct policy implications. And these are principles that we all actually hold in common. One that we've talked about here, the intrinsic value and dignity of each human being as a human being and not just for something that he or she can do, but simply as a creature made in the image of God. That's certainly the first and most fundamental principle of faith, family, and freedom.
James, would you talk a little about personal holiness? I have a 15-year-old son, Christian, who, as you know, loves you and your ministry very much. And I know that my boy wants to live for a bigger vision than just what college he's going to go to. and what kind of career he's going to end up. I believe there's a generation that want to know that there's something they get up for in the morning that is bigger than themselves. Would you talk to us about the importance of that in our culture?
It's really relationship with God and not just religion. I think that, people hear the word religion and then they begin to define in their own mind what that means. And so often it doesn't really mean relationship with Father God. I didn't have a father, but I met the Father. And as co-creator, I went to work a long time ago. And I never resented possibilities. I pursued them. I became, in the truest, purest sense of the word, the ultimate treasure hunter, which God's put that in all of us. But He is the ultimate treasure. He is the real one who fulfills our dreams. And I think if everyone watching, and if your son, if Christian, would love the Father with all his heart, I have said of our children, because I know I'm flawed. They know it. Nobody knows it better than my kids. One reason they respect me is I admitted so often I was wrong because they already knew it. And so we knew then we were on the right track. But our children looked beyond this father and really looked beyond that beautiful mother. Well, I believe if you really get to know the Father, our children looked beyond us and got to know the Father. They really did. They had a father, but they got to know the Father. And really, I think our founders were exposed to what they may have just referenced as divine providence. Many of them were so devout and so full of Jesus. And it was the preaching in the pulpit that inspired the founding of this nation. It was the inspiration of the Exodus and the delivering leadership of Moses that led them over to discover the land in the first place. And even Columbus came as a missionary in his heart. All these things are supernatural. I think that supernatural is about to happen again. This is what I believe God is bringing up right now. People that will come back to divine providence, come back to be what God wants them to be, with Him as Father and with us as His family. And that's really what Jay and I are hoping for. We're hoping for the real movers and shakers, the people who understand faith, family, and freedom to come together. But for the beauty of it all, to be a national family, to be bigger than any party, bigger than any title or label or denomination or creed, but to really be a family of faith, but also a national family, Americans, and not draw all these lines.
Well, can I just simply say from my heart, not as a co-host, just as a guest, that how deeply grateful I am to both of you for the years and the tears that have gone into the writing of this book. It has personally deeply impacted my life. I'm very grateful. I pray that every one of you will go out and get a copy of this, not just for yourself, but for those you care for, because I believe that God has given us a window. It's very clear. If you read Isaiah 61, where the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, then go to Christ's sermon in Luke chapter 4. You'll see He stops short of the wrath of God. We still have a window to see this nation turned around. So thank you so much, both of you, for this
really
profound
message. I really want to encourage, Sheila, our viewers, not to have what I call foolish, apathetic beliefs times to where we don't be the light that pierces the darkness and let it shine in this intense darkness. This is a day of a great awakening to where people can see the glory of God on His people. And I want to thank you on behalf of Betty and me and Jay for you coming to help host and say thanks to all of you in the audience. Jay, thank you. Sheila, thank you. Really appreciate it. I want to call your attention to really one of the things. As a matter of fact, you and I were talking to Richard Land today, who's head of the Southern Baptist Liberty and Ethics Commission, a wonderful man, great historian, great teacher. And he said, James, you know what you're best known for? And he's known me as a crusade evangelist since, as he told you today, since I was 20 years old. And he was about a year behind me and helped lead the crusade I did in Houston when I was just basically a teenager. He said, you know what you're best known for? He said, drilling water wells, reaching out to the suffering. Well, you couldn't pay me a greater compliment. But you want to know the truth? It's because of you. You see, we can see a need, and we can have a very genuine care in our heart, but our ability to share as effectively as the need requires is so limited. You make it possible. I want you to look, hopefully through the eyes of Jesus, and I want you to see if you could, in a way, be His hands and do what He would do. Watch closely.
Bueno, antes nosotros, verdad, agarrábamos agua de quebrada.
Before the water well was here, we had to search for water or go to the river. But in the drought, we would have to go far away to another well that was contaminated. My son got really sick with fever, but we had to keep drinking the same water. Before, all we had was contaminated water, but now we have clean water. We would like to thank all those who gave us this well. We're happy with the source of water we have because it is clean and we have seen a change in the health of our children. But I would also like to ask your supporters if they could help other communities that have trouble with their water.
Well, I tell you, I think when you listen to me, you know that I'm zealous about what I believe. I'm concerned about the whole world. I'm concerned about our country. And I want to say a special word of thanks to those of you in Australia. You really pray for us a lot. And by the way, our friends in the UK, I want to thank you for the way you pray for us and the Scandinavian countries and in Germany and down in South America. Thank you. I am concerned about America. And we're doing all we can to try to help really see this nation once again be the nation that's blessed because our God is the Lord. But this is a big challenge. But at the same time I'm focusing on that, I've not been able to take my eyes off the needs that we can meet. We've been all over the world to find people who are suffering. And they are also precious. I don't look at them as little vagabonds and little urchins and little people to be thought less of because they have tough circumstances. I come out of those circumstances. One reason I love this country so much. I didn't have a father, but I met the Father. My life was changed. I want everybody to know the Father, but I want them to see the Father's love. That's what changed my life. And I want to ask you to express the Father's love by giving water to those precious children and being an answer to those mothers' prayers. We're trying to drill, and I mean really trying, trusting, to drill several hundred wells. We focused on 12 different countries this year. Great need. Would you help us drill those wells? Would you right now dial that telephone number? If your heart was broken and you wanted someone to pray for you, you could dial it. We'll be here because we care, and love would pay for the call if you needed that kind of help. But what we're asking you to do today is to dial the number and say, I want to drill a well. Or I want to help you drill a well. $48. Let me show you how simple it is. $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. When we apply that $48 toward the $4,800 cost of a single well, that's the average cost. Would you do that? And let me give you another just example of what can happen with just a gift of love. $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. Could you do that? Would you do it? And if there's any way you could drill a well, many people tell us it's one of the great joys of their life as a couple or as an individual. They look forward to it. Could you make that $4,800 gift? Father, I pray several people will today. Lord, people I know are concerned about our country, but they say, hey, wait a minute. I can save those people's lives. And they'll drill a well because you've enabled them to. Thank you, Lord. Would you do that? Thank you for that. Maybe you can give $1,200 and pray three people join you. And then we'd have a well. Whatever you can do, it's real important. We want to send you a book. Believe this, not that. Boy, it'll be a blessing to you. Don't believe the lies. Believe the truth. This is going to light your fire. It's going to be a wonderful Bible study. You'll love it. You'll treasure it. You can go to different topics where you're having a challenge, and you'll be blessed. And then we've got the beautiful coffee mugs that remind you of the need for clean water and the lion and the lamb bronze. What a beautiful art piece. Would you make that call? Use your bank card, please. Use it like a check. That's the way you should use it. Always like a check. Or you can write a check, make it to Life, or go online, lifetoday.org. Make the best gift you can. Would you do that today? Thank you so much for doing it. God bless you for it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is that there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we will begin drilling 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Believe This, Not That, a brand new topical Bible promise book that will encourage you in every area of life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request our newly released Water for Life mug set, a daily reminder of the clean water you make possible to those who thirst. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lamb and the Lion. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, we do want to send you the Lion and the Lamb bronze. If you can help us drill a well, make a $1,200 gift or more, and any gift is so very important. And I repeat what some people have gotten kind of a kick out of. Someday the Lion will lie down the Lamb. I'm trying to, and really it's part of the reason for Indivisible. We, one aspect, get the elephant to lie down with the donkey, and how about have a civil conversation? Let's pray to that end. Get Indivisible and become the indivisible people of God. People of faith and family and who understand freedom. Let's correct our ship of state. Pledge your allegiance to God, not to a party, not even a candidate. Pray for them and pray that we know truth so clearly, hold it so high that everybody turns and adjusts their compass to true north. That's our prayer. Get into the bookstores. Get a copy for a friend that's praying. And get one for your pastor, your priest, or your leader. To all of you here, thank you so much for coming. To Jay Richards, Sheila Walsh, thank you. Betty, thank you. All of you, thank you so much for letting us come into your home with life today to bring life every day.
Freedom are under attack. James Robison and Jay Richards encourage a divided America to stand together before it's too late. Indivisible, available now through online and retail bookstores.
I am excited about coming to many areas of our country. Check the website to see when and if we'll be in your area. The Indivisible Book Tour. This is the way to lead our great nation out of the wilderness back into the land of blessing and promise. Don't miss it.
Connect with Life Today through your favorite social media sites. Just go to lifetoday.org and click Connect. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.